Greetings in the name of our soon-coming Savior and Lord. Your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. You will perhaps recall that in our last two messages to you, we had before us what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know, and then what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. Today we want to say a little about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are. And so I shall enumerate a number of these, and then we'll look up the scriptures and see what the Word of God has to say about them. First of all, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, those who are really, truly His, are children of God. Believers are accepted in the Beloved One, and we are justified. We are called, we are glorified, we are witnesses, Acts 1 verse 8, we are as He is in this world. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted in Him, are accepted in the Beloved One. We also are a holy priesthood. Now, it might be good just to remind ourselves at the outset of the fact that by nature, we were not the children of God. Sometimes you hear people pray or speak of the fatherhood of God and that we are all His children. This, of course, is contrary to the teaching of Holy Scripture. For the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that by nature we are children of wrath, even as others. And then I like to think, too, of what the Apostle Peter tells us in his first epistle. And in the second chapter, he says in about verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. And so we want to just say a little about that. What we now are, we are children of the living God. That is, let me remind you once again, those who have definitely, personally acknowledged and owned their sinnership in the presence of God and trusted Christ as their own personal Savior, all such instantaneously, on the very spot, regardless when, where, become children of the living God. Think, for instance, of the first chapter of the Gospel by St. John. In verse 11 we read, He, that is Jesus, came to His own, that is His own things, and His own people, received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. So that if you if you have been made one of His children in the true sense of the word, you can congratulate yourself today. There are hundreds of thousands, millions around us on every hand that are still children of wrath, children of darkness, estranged to God, by wicked works and without a single solitary claim upon Him. And while we have already stressed that God is the Creator of all, He is only the Father of those who have personally, definitely put their trust in His atoning, precious blood for definite, for present, and for eternal salvation. So it's wonderful to be one of His children, a child of the living and the true God. And then not only so, but we are spoken of as we are accepted in Him. If you were to turn, for instance, to the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and if you were to read there in the very first chapter, and I think it would be very interesting if you'd take your time and your Bibles, and if you do not have your Bible handy, you just make a notation of this, and you turn to the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and read in that very first chapter something that will gladden your heart, I can assure you. For we do read there in chapter 1 and in verse 6, which says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, or in the Beloved One. Then again, let me remind you that not only is that our position before Him, but also, if you were to turn to the very next chapter, that's Ephesians chapter 2, And you would there read that believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are saved. And I think perhaps you would find that in about verse 5 of Ephesians 2, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, is he quickened together in Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now listen to this. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Such is the present position, the present portion of all who know Christ as their own Savior. Now, without turning to it, but I just merely mentioned that you would find it in the 8th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, where it begins by telling us that not only are we his children, that's to be very sure, but we know, he says in 28, that all things work together for good to them who are to them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. But going down further, he tells us that whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, we are predestinated, we are called, and also we are glorified. Now, I want to notice something else that I think ought to interest just a little bit. And that is, not only all that we have said that we are, there's something else our God has to say about us, and this ought to be of particular and special interest to any who are listening in today who know Christ as their own personal Savior. If you were to turn, for instance, to the Acts of the Apostles, and if you were to read there in the very first chapter, and of course that was immediately after the Passion, the suffering, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious resurrection. He had some things to say to his own. He gave them some special instructions and things pertaining to the kingdom of God just prior to the event when he ascended from this scene into the presence of God. But you listen now to what he has to say about those who are left behind, and this has a special, a definite, a direct application to all of us who are children, to all of us who have been justified, to all of us who can claim him as Savior and measure as Lord. Will you listen to this? It's found, I think, in Romans, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, I couldn't think of anything much more precious than that. You see, he has called me and called me for a special purpose. And he has justified me and justified me before God for a special purpose. And let me remind you of a verse that makes that so crystal clear. If you turn to Acts chapter 13 and read there verses 38 and 39, you would come across this wonderful statement, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe," now notice that little word, A-R-E, "are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, just let's reflect for a moment. Since we are his children, and since we are accepted in the Beloved One, and since we are justified, since we have been called, and since in reality, so far as God is concerned, already we are glorified. Now, the little while that's left to us here, we are left here to be witnesses, witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering if this is true of all of us. In other words, do you take every opportunity that comes your way? When you rise in the morning, do you seek the face of God and do you ask him in all simplicity and in all sincerity, "Now, Lord, you've made me your own. I'm as sure of heaven as though I was already there. But I would like to be a true witness. I want to tell others of the glories that I've found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What has become mine? What is my present portion, my present position?" In other words, the things that are mine here and now. I have been chosen to be one of his witnesses. Now listen, there's many a person will never hear the way of salvation. They'll never hear a clear presentation of the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ unless it comes to them through your lips. Now, it is granted that there are two ways of witnessing for Christ. There's such a thing as what we call the witness of our life in that respect, and then there's also the testimony that comes through our lips. We can tell others about the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, did you witness to someone this day about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Word of God has so much to say about personal testimony or personal witness. Now, we can't all take a public place, nor did God ever expect that. But indeed, there are ways that we can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can tell others of the glories that we have found and that we do find in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think, for instance, that, our lot is cast in a world where tens of thousands all around us have never heard a clear story of present and eternal salvation. They've never heard the story that God sent his Son into the world, that God's beloved Son took up the great problem of sin and settled it to God's entire satisfaction, and that God has entrusted the making known of that wonderful truth, that glorious gospel, to us who have been chosen and who are his witnesses. And we want to be true witnesses, and we want to be faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can tell? Thousands, tens of thousands of souls have been won to Christ because there have been those who are true witnesses to the grace and to the salvation of our God. Now our time is almost gone, but I do want to say just a thought or two more about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are. If you were to turn, for instance, to the first epistle of John, chapter 4, you read it, it's almost the end of the chapter. It says, as he is, that is, as Christ is, so are we also in this world. You see, he's beyond the judgment scene. He's already glorified. He's already with the Father. And he's given us the opportunity of witnessing to him. And then, of course, we are accepted, as Paul tells us, in the Beloved One. But one more thought I press as I conclude this little message to you. If you were to turn, for instance, to the first epistle of Peter, we read there something else about what our God has to say that we are. Not that we will be someday, but what we are even at the present time. That would be in 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading at verse 5, which says, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, we've been speaking about what the opportunity we have of witnessing to Christ, and now we have brought before us the highest possible function of a believer as a holy priest to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto him. May the Lord help us then. And you just search the Scriptures and see how many things you can find of which God says that we are now, even in our Lord Jesus Christ. God grant it for his name's sake. Amen.